Once again, the scripture reading is Galatians 5, verses 1 through 4. Galatians 5, verses 1 through 4. This is the New King James Version. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace.
Good to be with you tonight. We appreciate everyone's presence. And hope I got this mic on. I guess I do. You remember from last week, we started a short series of lessons on choosing the Bible over the doctrines of men. And I said at that time, there's different reasons to talk about and preach on this particular doctrine you might recall, or this particular subject. You might recall I said last week that there are some who used to sit where you do. That is, figuratively speaking, what I mean by it is simply individuals who were members of sound local churches somewhere, who now sit in a denominational building and are unfaithful to God. And I suspect that if you were to ask some of them when they were faithful, if they would ever leave the church of our Lord and end up going to a denominational church, they probably would have said, no, we or I would never do that. But there they are. And I say that simply to say we want to encourage everyone here, and it could happen to any of us, even, of course, the preacher. I know preachers who have preached in the pulpit of sound local congregations who have now gone off to some denominational church. And so it can happen to anyone, preachers, elders, or those who are seasoned saints. And we certainly want to discourage that. We don't want anyone here tonight to end up leaving the faith and going to a denominational church. And of course, some of these doctrinal things that we will look at in these simple fundamental lessons, the young people need to hear them. They haven't heard them as much as some of you who have been in the church for many years. You're familiar with these doctrines, but there's always young people or new converts who need to hear these kind of lessons. And at the end of the day, I hope that we all will always choose the Bible over the doctrines of men. So last week we talked a little bit about the idea of worship, but not worship itself, but the denominational mindset basically that says how you worship really doesn't matter. As long as you worship God, it doesn't matter how you do it. You don't have to have authority for exactly what you do. And as a result of that, we see all kinds of things, sometimes wild things in the denominational world. You've heard me talk before about some mainstream denominations actually having worship services for their pets. And that has become more and more popular over the last several years. Canine worship, they call it. And so they actually have like a 20-minute period of time in a service like this that they set a time for their pets, for their dogs primarily is what I've heard, for their dogs to worship. And that's simply what happens when you begin to think we can basically do whatever we want as long as we love Jesus. Doctrine really doesn't matter, and we can worship God just the way we decide we ought to. But we need to choose the Bible. We need to understand the Bible talks about vain worship. The Bible clearly teaches that there is a way that God wants to be worshiped. Jesus said we must worship in spirit and in truth. So we must have the right attitude, but also we must worship God according to His Word. Well, tonight, let's look at another very popular doctrine. You can probably tell what it is, those of you who are experienced in the Scripture, and you recognize this passage in Galatians chapter 5. It has to do, of course, with the Calvinistic teaching that says we cannot fall from grace. And that is another doctrine that is very, very popular in the religious world today. I don't know what the statistics are so far as how many in denominational circles are Calvinist, but I suspect the large part of those denominations that came out of the Reformation movement are Calvinistic, at least in part. Most of them full-blown Calvinist. But almost every denomination at least believes in some steps that are involved in Calvinism. I say some steps because you've heard before that many times Calvinism is described by the word tulip. And so there are basically five steps there. The T having to do with total depravity. The U is unconditional election. The L is limited atonement. The I is irresistible grace. And then the P, which we're dealing with tonight, is the perseverance of the saints. The idea that it is impossible to apostatize. We cannot, they say, fall from grace. And so you basically have five steps. But now there are some people who are uncomfortable with some of those situations, and so they might be four-step Calvinist or even three-step Calvinist, and they'll accept some of it, but not all of it. But many will accept the whole thing. And we don't have time tonight. We could go down the line. I could preach an entire sermon on each one of those steps. They're all false. The total depravity, of course, we know we're not born in sin. The one passage that comes to my mind and that refutes it very quickly is the very definition of sin. 1 John 3 at verse 4, sin is a transgression of law. So how does an infant break the law? How is an infant a sinner? If the Bible is right, and we know that it is, how do infants transgress the law of God? Now, we could go a lot deeper with that, but that alone refutes the idea of total depravity. Sin is a violation of God's law, and you do not become a sinner one moment before you transgress that law. What Calvinists believe in, basically, are sinless sinners. Try to make sense out of that. And then you think about the unconditional election. Matthew chapter 7 at verse 21. Jesus said, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. That sounds to me like a condition. And so that's easily refuted. And again, we could preach a whole lesson on that and look at passage after passage that shows that that's wrong. And the idea of limited atonement, the passage that comes to my mind is Hebrews chapter 2 at verse 9, that Jesus tasted death not for a few select individuals, but he tasted death for every man. And so that is refuted. And the idea of irresistible grace. I remember Paul in one place saying that he would not nullify the grace of God. Why would Paul say he wouldn't do something that he knew was impossible to do in the first place? And besides, when you stop and think about it, this idea of irresistible grace, we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But we also know that we're saved by grace. And so the truth is, every time someone rejects the gospel, he or she is resisting God's grace. So it's nonsensical to come up with an idea that grace is somehow irresistible. Of course, you can resist God's grace. But then we come down to this perseverance of the saints. And the reason, really, they believe that one cannot fall from grace is because of those first four steps that I just referred to. It is true that if those first four steps were right, it would be impossible to fall from grace. But as we've seen, not one of them is right. And so the truth is, we can fall from grace. And here is the passage that was read for us just a moment ago from Galatians chapter 5. And Paul says that what Calvinists say we can't do, that it will happen to those who go back to that law, the old law. Again, reading the text, Galatians 5 at verse 1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." And he is talking about the old law there and the bondage that they would be under, the spiritual bondage that they would be under if they went back to Judaism. Now, those of you in the Sunday morning class know that we're studying Hebrews, and the fact of the matter is the entire book of Hebrews is a testimony to the fact that we can fall from grace. Like, why was the Hebrews writer even concerned about these individuals leaving Christ and going back to Judaism if they couldn't fall from grace? What's the point? If they could not lose their salvation, why not just let them go and do whatever it is that they wanted to do? The entire book of Hebrews refutes this idea. But that's the slavery that Paul is talking about here, the slavery or the bondage of Judaism. He says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Can we fall from grace? Absolutely. And every one of us here tonight, as true children of God, we need to be reminded that indeed we can lose our salvation. It might sound good to some people. It might excite individuals to think that there's absolutely nothing they can do to lose the salvation of their soul, but it's a devil's lie. The truth is, we can go off into apostasy. And there's many passages that teach that. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 just for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But as you're turning over there, let me just emphasize again this idea of choosing the Bible over the doctrines of men. Now, Calvinism says you can't fall from grace. Paul said to those folks, if you go back to the law, he talked about circumcision because the Judaizing teachers were demanding that individuals be circumcised for salvation. There wasn't anything wrong with an individual being circumcised if he did not demand that other people or those performing the circumcision didn't demand that it was necessary for salvation. You remember Paul, of course, had Timothy circumcised, but it wasn't for salvation. So we know in Galatians 5, when Paul talks about circumcision, he's talking about Judaizing teachers who were binding that on Gentiles, saying if you're going to be saved, you have to be circumcised. And that was to add to the gospel. And he says, if you do that, you have been severed from Christ. You have fallen away. So again, Calvinism, you can't fall from grace. The doctrine of man or the Bible, you have fallen away from grace. You have to make a choice which one you're going to believe. But what about this passage over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Beginning at verse 1, it says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Now you need to understand, I won't go in great detail with regard to all of this, but the background here is that these Corinthians were thinking they could live however they wanted to. And because of their special relationship with Christ, they'd be okay. And they would say, well, you know, we've been baptized, so we're good no matter what. And we partake of a spiritual meal, the Lord's Supper, every week. And so no matter what, we're okay. And Paul knew that they felt that way. The Corinthians were basically the first ones who believed in the possibility of apostasy. And Paul knew that. And so he brings up the Old Testament saints. They too were in favor with God. And guess what? They too, figuratively speaking, they were baptized when they passed through the Red Sea and there was water on both sides and above them. And yet we find, as he goes forward, they fell. Yeah, but don't forget, we partake of a spiritual meal. So did they, figuratively speaking. And so he goes on to say about these individuals, he says at verse 5, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Even though they had spiritual drink, even though they were baptized, figuratively speaking, they still fell. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, why does he write all of that? Verse 6, now, these took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Now let me ask you, why does any of that matter? Why would Paul say, don't do those things? Don't follow in the steps of those Old Testament saints who fell. If you couldn't fall from grace, does it really matter? Well, of course we can fall from grace. And Paul knew that. He goes on to say, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. And then verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the ends of the ages come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. The Bible or the doctrines of man? Man cry out, you can't fall. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But Paul says, you beware of this. You take heed to yourself, lest you fall. And the truth is, there are passage after passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 6, if you have your Bibles, turn over there. Many passages that talk about this business of falling. Let's look at just a few of them. First Timothy chapter 3 and the verse is 6. 1 Timothy 3 and the 6th verse. Paul wrote this to the young evangelist Timothy. He said he must not, he's referring here in this context, as most of you know, the qualifications to an elder. He says, and he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Now you tell me, if an individual, no matter who he is, here he's talking about someone who might serve as an elder, going over the qualifications, but in, whoever it is in Christ, male or female, who falls into the condemnation of the devil, you think that person is still right with God? While being in the condemnation of the devil? How, pray tell, can you be in the condemnation of the devil and be in fellowship with God at the same time? And he is writing and warning about those, again, who might desire the office of an elder. Now, look over at Hebrews chapter 3 and at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and at verse 12. The Hebrews writer says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Could you still be right with God? You fall away from the living God, but you haven't lost your salvation because Calvinists say it's impossible to fall from grace. It sounds to me that if you fall away from the living God, you lose your fellowship with Him. In chapter 4 at verse 11, it says, let us therefore strive to enter into that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. We just go on and on and just look at the word fall. Look at another one in James chapter 5 and at verse 12. James, the fifth chapter. James chapter 5 and the verse is 12. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. And there are many other passages that we can read of that use the word fall. Of course, there are many passages that talk about the ability to fall from grace. It may not have the word fall in it, but still it teaches. These are just passages that use the word fall. And there's more than the ones I've just read. The fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit inspired men to warn us about falling because it is possible. In fact, I have in the back of my Bible, a list here that I believe it was A.C. Grider who debated a Calvinist and had this particular chart in his debate. In the chart he had, according to Calvinists, a child of God can, and then he lists all these different things. Let me read them off to you very quickly. A child of God can leave the faith, 1 Timothy chapter 5 at verse 12, come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 at verse 23, deny Christ, 2 Timothy 2:12, deny the faith, 1 Timothy 5 at verse 8, depart from the faith, 1 Timothy 4:1, depart from the living God, Hebrews 3 at verse 12, do despite to the Spirit of God, Hebrews 10 verse 29, err from the truth, James 5:19. Fall into condemnation, James 5:12. Fall from grace, Galatians 5 verse 4. Fall into unbelief, Hebrews 4 at verse 11. Have an evil heart of unbelief, Hebrews 3 at verse 12. Have faith overthrown, 2 Timothy 2 at verse 18. Make shipwreck of the faith, 1 Timothy 1:19. And turn aside after Satan, 1 Timothy 5:18. At verse 15, and still not be lost. Who can believe that? An individual could do all of those things that he listed there and still not be lost. Because after all, he's a child of God, and it's impossible for children of God to so live as to be lost. Who can believe that? The fact of the matter is, we can fall from grace. And not only do we have these passages that I've just looked at, but we have Bible example of individuals who actually fell. We don't have time to look at all of that. You're familiar with most of them in Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira fell. I remember a local church in Mesa, Arizona, that split over the question of whether or not they actually lost their soul. Well, if you're familiar with that story at all, you know the very last thing they both did was lie, and they died. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to conclude what their fate was. They fell from grace. No doubt about that. A few chapters later, we have Simon the magician. He obeyed the gospel. How do you know? Because the Bible says he believed and was baptized. Calvinists would say, well, he really didn't believe. They had to take that up with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit said through Luke that he believed and was baptized. Mark 16 at verse 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Simon was saved according to the Holy Spirit. And yet he let greed get the best of him. And he fell so that Peter told him to repent and pray God. That's an example of an individual falling from grace. We have many other examples. Hymenaeus and Philetus fell from grace. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read about that. And in fact, not only did they fall from grace, they made a shipwreck of the faith, but they overthrew the faith of others as well. We know about Demas, who used to be a companion of Paul, 2 Timothy 4 at verse 10. He left Paul because he loved the present world. And so not only do we have passage after passage that tell us we can fall, that warn us, that admonish us about falling, then we have passages where individuals actually fail. And it's hard to believe that anyone would espouse a doctrine that says, yeah, but really, it's impossible. As I said in the beginning, you know why they have to teach that. It's because of their core doctrine. It's because of those first 4 points. They have no choice, really, but to teach that. But all 5 steps of the tulip is wrong. That is a doctrine of man, the idea that you can't fall from grace. And let me say in closing to us, most of us here tonight understand we can fall from grace. We refute Calvinism. Let's not make the mistake of denying Calvinism so far as doctrine is concerned, but living our life as if we couldn't fall. Like, if you understand you can fall, if you believe you can fall from grace, you better do everything you can not to fall. Be faithful. And be faithful unto death, Revelation 2 at verse 10. So that we, as Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, we can make our calling and election sure. When we add to our faith the things he talks about, we're living faithfully. We can make our calling and election sure. And if we do that, we'll never fall. But we have to do that. We have to continue to be strong and live the way God wants us to live. Will you choose the doctrine of men? No, you can't lose your salvation or believe the Bible. Side with the doctrine of the Bible and teach that we indeed can lose our salvation. Are you subject to the imitation of Christ? We've told you already what you have to do tonight to be saved. Believe and be baptized. It's just that simple. Thank God he made becoming a Christian so easy. It isn't dependent upon your own greatness, your own intellect. It's dependent upon the grace of God and following his instruction. Again, you have to believe in Jesus, that he is that Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized. You can do that tonight if you're not a child of God. You will be saved. And then if you live faithfully unto death, you will have a home in heaven. But you have to get in the race first. You have to obey the gospel. We hope that you will. We hope you do it right now as we together stand and sing.